Well, good morning, everyone. It's been a beautiful weekend, hasn't it? Just unbelievably beautiful, and I hope today's going to be a great day for you. I'm Jack Crabtree. I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and if you're visiting here with us today, or you haven't been kind of with us on a steady basis, we've been going through the whole book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and into the book of Acts, which Luke also wrote. And we're learning about how the church came into existence. We're learning how these followers of Jesus got together and how God worked in their lives to kind of make all this happen. I mean, here we are like over 2,000 years later, and the fact that we're one of tens of millions of churches around the world, that God's still at work with all of this. So today we're going to take a look at it. And we're going to look at a passage that talks about the Holy Spirit. You know, you talk about God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk this morning a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is and how he works into our life. So today, we're going to start and take an offering. You don't look that happy about that, right? But it's good news is it's a reverse offering, okay? Instead of you asking you to give us something, we're going to give you something, all right? So our ushers are going to come right now and pass the plates, the buckets. And we've got a little wristband for you, okay? And the wristband basically says, Spirit Strong. And on the back, it kind of says Acts 1:8, which is an address from the Bible that kind of says, when Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So we'd like you to take this little wristband. There's nothing magical about it, nothing, no special power in it or anything else. It's just going to be a good reminder. If you'd like to take it today, and as we talk about it, you might at some point say, yeah, I'm going to wear this wristband. What I learned today is going to, I want it to really stick with me and be part of all that. So just grab a hold of one of these, okay? That'd be great. Now, this morning, listening to Pastor Jerry talk about his cell phone, oh boy, you know. That's our greatest fear, right? Well, my granddaughter, who's 11, she keeps reminding me that I have all the information I need. It's just right on my cell phone. She says, I'm saying, well, I don't know what to do about this. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get here. I don't know, when this place is going to open. She says, Grandpa, just ask Siri. Siri knows, okay? And not only is Siri out, but I think there's a new lady that's called Alexa. She'll sit in your living room. I asked Alexa one time, are you friends with Siri? She said, I really can't talk about that. And I was babysitting my grandson, and he was having a little squirmy time and couldn't go to sleep and everything else, and I was running out of tricks, and I finally said, Alexa, we need some baby songs. And about 10 seconds later, the wheels on the bus go round and round. And he went right to sleep. So, listen, what I'm trying to say to you is, guess what? We have resources available to you. Isn't it amazing that the things you're holding in your hand, you know, that you can give you directions, can tell you what the weather's going to be like, can tell you, where to find things. It's just amazing. And all of us probably, if you're like me, I've got more to learn. I got more to open up, more to understand that this little device, what it can do for me. Well, this morning, I think what we want to do is we want to open ourselves up and say, you know what, there's a lot more to learn about who God is, especially who Jesus is, and the Holy Spirit. So this morning, we're looking at a passage from Acts chapter 19. Now, if you'd like to follow along, we have a Bible in the seat right in front of you. Just look down, you can see that. It's on page 1113. But we also put it up on the screen. So if you'd like to follow along, I'm going to read a little passage here. The Apostle Paul is making a missionary trip. He's kind of going across Asia, Western Asia. He's up into Greece and what modern-day Turkey and that kind of thing, and he's talking to people and telling them the story about how Jesus came to earth and how he died on the cross and how he was resurrected from the dead and how he truly is the Son of God. So this morning, here's what the word says to us. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked them, "Now, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "Well, then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. And Paul said to them, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And there were about 12 men in all." Well, this guy, the Apostle Paul, I guess, if we had him standing out in the foyer here, I guess you might want to avoid him, right? Because he likes to ask pretty blunt questions. He sees you, he walks over, he looks at you, he says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit? You know, when you believed?" That's kind of getting in your face, right? Pastor Jerry and I stand out there and promise to ask you that. Boy, everybody would scatter, right? But that's the Apostle Paul, just pretty blunt, right to the point. He looks at them, he says, "Hey, I can tell you guys are really motivated, you're really religious people, you're really trying your best and everything else, but did you get the Holy Spirit? Did you get the app for the Holy Spirit? You know, did you realize that God wants to be in you and be a part of you with all that?" And it's such a great conversation because the people aren't threatened by that. And you go, "No, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. What are you talking about?" And maybe that's our case sometimes, that for God to really teach us, we just need to be honest about, "I didn't know I could do this. I didn't know to push this button or to make these things happen." We just need to be honest and say, "We didn't understand. Nobody ever told this to us. I never figured this out." So the Apostle Paul begins to talk to them about all this. And so today, that's what we're going to do for a few minutes. We're going to talk about what is it that the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, and what does he really do? Here's a long list, okay? Probably more things than I'm going to talk about. First of all, the Holy Spirit is God. You've heard, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit truly is God. He's fully God. He's God in a spirit form that can go any place and be anywhere in the world. And he can be in us. He has all the characteristics of God. He's all-powerful. He's all omniscient. That means he knows everything. You know, he's omnipotent, has all the power. He never changes. He has connection with us. And what does he do? Well, we don't hear too much about the Holy Spirit because he doesn't really talk about himself. His job is to kind of point us towards Jesus. He wants us to know God the Son, who came here and gave his life for all of us so that we could be, you know, forgiven and be set right, have our relationship with God be solidified, knowing that our debts, our sins, everything has been paid for by God the Son. So God the Holy Spirit is constantly promoting Jesus and talking to us and working in our lives to get us to know Jesus better. He's really the one who draws us to God. It's the Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible. He's the one who directed the people, the men and the women, to kind of write down everything that's in the Bible. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is like, he's a comforter who comes to be with us and to help us. In fact, in John 14, Jesus talks about what's going to happen, he says to his disciples, you know, they're really scared to death. They're getting the message that Jesus is going to leave. They're like, "What are we going to do? we'll be lost without you." And Jesus says, "But listen, I will send an advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in my name. He will teach you all things, will remind you of everything that I've said to you. Now, listen, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid." So one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he helps us in these moments when we're really afraid. He helps us in the time when we're really in trouble. He comes. The Spirit of God wants to come and be with us and to calm us down, to give us courage, to give us a sense of hope. And how many of us need that, right? I mean, we have a lot of anxious moments in our life, a lot of times when we're really struggling. So here's the bottom line, what it says on the screen. The Holy Spirit is the power of God, God himself, at work in us. I know that almost seems unbelievable. I mean, I really mean, the Bible really means what's on the screen there. The God who put this world together, the God who's big enough, strong enough, the God who's beyond all of description, he has decided that he wants to create his spirit so that he will come in and live in us. That's in you and in me, of all places, you know. I should say to him, the neighborhood around here is not so good. I don't know why you'd want to live here, right? No, God wants to come and live in us. In other words, he didn't just create the world and kind of set us off into space. He kind of said, no, I want to be connected to these people. And I've set my spirit to come and be part of them and to be a part of all this. So here's the bottom line. You really can't live the Christian life if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people try to do that, and a lot of you, I'm sure, are good church people, and whether you're Catholics or Protestants or something else, I mean, all of us try to be good people, and we try to do our best. We try to go and listen. We hear all the rules. We hear all the commandments. All these things kind of stick out there, and we're like, oh, I got to do better at these things. But the bottom line is, if we don't have the Holy Spirit in our life, you can't do it. I can't do it because, well... I'm just not strong enough. I have a pretty good will. I'm a rule keeper. I like to really stick to things. I'm a guy who doesn't give up. But I need God's Spirit in my life to help me with all these things. And so God is living in me. One of the reasons that I don't do very well is that I have a resistance to the Holy Spirit. And usually, there's a lot of reasons. I'll give you three, okay? Here's my number one resistance is, I like to think that I could do it by myself, okay? I say, yeah, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for all your promises to me. Now, I'll take it from here. You know, I'll get my own life together, and I'll make sure that I'm doing enough good things, and I'll make sure I go to church once in a while, and I'll make sure that I got all this plan. I'll run my own life, right? I'm not really interested in somebody from someplace else telling me what to do. Now, some of that's just pride. You know, like nobody, I don't like anybody to tell me what to do. And some of it's just defiance, like, I'll do my own thing. Some of it's just foolishness, in that I'm thinking that somehow I've got all the answers when really I don't. Just on my own ignorance. And so sometimes I just resist what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell me. Sometimes God's Spirit will come and kind of tell me, go over there and connect with those people, help those people out. I'm like, no. It's, and I got all these reasons why I don't want to do it. And no, God's Spirit say, no, step over there. You know, I'll be with you. I'll help you. I wouldn't know what to say. I don't know if I have, how would I know what to do? God says, no, you go. God speaks to us and helps us in that way. He wants to direct our lives. Second thing is, I resist the Holy Spirit because I don't want to be weird, okay? And somebody told me that if you go around people and church people and they talk about the Holy Spirit, they're kind of weird, okay? Sometimes I've seen pictures of them, they shake, some people like fall down, and some people like jump over seats, and other people speak in languages nobody understands. And if that's being filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm like, whoa, you know? I don't want to be weird, like go to church and stand up and raise my hands. I mean, that'd be really like weird, wouldn't it? Then I go to the baseball game. I don't know, did anybody watch the game last night? Kind of had a sad ending. But they said all those people in Houston, they stood up the whole game. Did you see that? And I think when they were playing here in Yankee Stadium, they stood up. They would beat on the side of the stands, you know, and everyone's making all the noise and everything else. Why? Because they loved their team, and they just wanted they want to encourage their team to really win, right? Oh, those, they're weird, right? I went to a few concerts with my son, and I looked around, and guess what? Everybody in the place was going, hands up, like, we love this music. This is great. This is the greatest moment of our life. And yet when we talk about coming to church and standing up and people might raise their hand and go, ooh, it's really, that's just weird, right? I don't know how people would do something like that. Well, guess what? We're just worshiping God, just saying thank you to him for all that he's done for us. And you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird. In fact, it talks about the thing that the Spirit gives us is, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. What's wrong with those three? patience, goodness, kindness. We could have a lot of that, a lot more of that at home, right? Gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Bingo, right? If we would just, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to bring these things into our life. It's not just a matter of how, you know, feeling good on Sunday. He wants to let this be part of our life all the way along. And he works inside of us. Let's see if I can help you with that. I brought a few props along today to kind of see whether I can make sense out of all this, okay? So let's see. Let's just say that this is our life, okay? This is the life God gives you. And for the most of the time, we end up putting all kinds of debris in here, all kinds of bad stuff, and it gets a little polluted. I don't know if you'd even want to drink. We've all had enough bad stuff in our life. But God looks at us, and he doesn't look at all the mess and the dirt that's in here. He sees us for who he really created us to be. And it says that he sent his son, Jesus, to forgive us for all the mistakes that we've made and to take all this out. And then he wants to pour himself into our life. So here he comes. The Bible says, though our sins be as scarlet, you know, we will be washed and as white, and they'll be as white as snow. And you think to yourself, boy, that looks a lot better, right? So Jesus comes into our life, and he's there. He forgives us. It's because of what he's done that you and I can stand before God. Not because we're good enough, but because the Bible says that he took all of our sins on himself. It says, all we like sheep, we've wandered away. Each one of us has gone our own way. We've done we've ignored him. But God has laid on him all of our sins. So when Jesus died and was buried, you know why he was buried? He was the Son of God. He never committed any sins in his life. Why would he die? Because God took all of our sins and put them on him, and he died. And then God raised him up and said, you know, and what you're going to see today when Rich and Tammy get baptized is that we talk about being buried with Christ, all of our sins going under the water, and coming up out of the water, we're raised to new life because of what God has done for us. So he gives us a new life. But then he wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, this is the part I like. Okay? So he says he just pours his Holy Spirit into us, okay? He's not stingy. He gives us his Spirit, right? And we say, no, the Holy Spirit's inside of us. We go, it is? We say, yeah, it's in there. He says, well, it doesn't look that much different. So what does he do? He just wants to stir up the Spirit in us. In fact, it says, you know, that when we first give ourselves to Christ, that he gives us the Holy Spirit. He comes into our life. It'll always be there. It'll never leave. But then it says that he wants us to be filled with the Spirit every day. So he says, you know, read my word, obey my word, get out there and help other people, begin to do the things. And you know, as we begin to let God's Spirit work in our life, he begins to stir us up, and my, our life begins to change as we really listen to the Spirit. He takes us places and allows us to do things, and our life just becomes totally different than we ever thought. What do you think? Sweet. Good, huh? What was I doing before? Oh, yeah. Listen, I just want you to know that God, you know, God's put this together for us. He loves us so much. He gave us his life. So many times we're just lost. We feel anxious. We feel so angry about what's going on. Sometimes we feel such despair in our hearts and just kind of like nothing makes sense. We're so negative about what's happening all around us. God didn't bring us those things. Yes, the world's real and all the problems are real, but he's come to let us know that he loves us. He wants to give us new life, and he wants his Spirit to live in us. You know, he even ordered his disciples. He says, in this world, you'll have many troubles and trials and difficulties and your cell phone will fall into the water, okay? But cheer up, because I've overcome the world. And my spirit in my spirit in you will make all the difference. So here's the big idea for today. I'm saying to all of us, listen, are you seeking what God wants to give you? I mean, God has so much to give you and to let him, he wants to be part of your life. Are you open to that? Are you willing to kind of say, I want the salvation he's going to give me through Jesus. I want him to forgive me. And then I want him to come and into my life and fill me up over and over and over again every day so that I can really be feeling him in my life and experiencing him, that he can make a huge difference in me. That's the question of the morning. Now, this morning we have two great examples of this. Rich and Tammy Cutler are here today, and they brought a lot of their friends and family. We're glad you guys are all here. And they've been friends with all of us, so they're going to come up and tell us a little bit about their story, okay? Because, you know, this isn't just theory that we're talking about. What's happening is that God really does work in people's lives. He does, and he makes a huge difference in them. Rich and Tammy are going to be baptized today in a little bit. And before they get baptized, we always let people tell their story a little bit. Tammy is absolutely scared to death, okay? You're going to see firsthand an example of somebody who's really asking God's Holy Spirit to come and help her, because this is something that she would never do on her own, right? So this is Tammy and Rich. Give them a welcome, okay?
I've had a practice on the first service, but it doesn't feel any better this one. So if you had told me 3 years ago that I'd be up here today, I would have told you were absolutely crazy. No way. I don't do these things. I'm terrified of public speaking. But the idea of baptism really was put on my heart, and I wanted to do it, but I was afraid to speak. So I even tried to get Pastor Jerry to give me a private baptism in my dad's pool on Labor Day, and it rained. And then I asked Jerry for Plan B, and he said we could come here, and Rich would speak for me because he knows my fear, but I really can't have Rich speak for me. So here we are. We've been attending Shelter Rock for 3 years. Our journeys start together, but they're very different. Rich is someone who jumps right in right away. I'm more cautious. I take my time. So as an example, we love swimming holes, and we love cliffs, to dive from the cliffs. And when we go, Rich will be the first one to get to the cliff, and he dives right in. And he doesn't look for rocks. He doesn't look for danger. He doesn't even know if it's deep enough. And I look over the side, and I look down, and I look for the rocks, and I check to make sure it's deep. I make sure he didn't get hurt, and then eventually I go. So we get to the same spot, but just in very different ways. And that's how our walk with Christ has been. Rich is more out loud and bold, and mine more quiet and reserved. So I was raised in a Lutheran church by my mom, who was on every committee, hosting Bible studies, leading youth group. She knew Jesus, but I didn't get it, and I only went because I had to. After my confirmation, I stopped going, only went on holidays. But it wasn't until Rich and I met and then had our own children that we wanted to figure it out. We started to look for different churches, really didn't feel fulfilled, and just eventually gave up. And then 6 years ago, my family's world was rocked when my mom, at age 60, was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. The next 2.5 years were a nightmare, but throughout her battle, my mom was upbeat and positive. And that was only faith. She could not have done that without having faith. And after she passed, leaving us devastated, I turned to God. Again, we started our search for a church, but we even came to Shelter Rock and wrote it off as being one of those born-again churches. And
a bunch of weirdos, right? Yeah, okay.
And after a year of searching, somehow we ended up back here. And little by little, God went to work on me. First, it was with the music. I wasn't able to make it through a service without crying, and often felt my mom's presence. Then I would hear a sermon, go home, look up what it was about. I'd never read the Bible before. We attended weekly services and volunteered in the children's ministry. And the following summer, we went on a missions trip to Nicaragua, and we were surrounded by so many seasoned Christians, and they and Pastor Jerry asked all of my questions, and I had so many. But that trip was really pivotal for me, and I hope opened my heart to hear the things that God wanted to do in my life. I left there with a feeling that there was something out there that I didn't have, but I wanted it. I needed to learn more. And the first thing we did after getting back was from Nicaragua was going to Alpha, which was like a Christianity 101 class. And then a year later, while we were preparing for our second trip to Nicaragua, Rich was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. Not again, I thought. But instead of despairing, we made the decision to remain in faith. And we stood on God's promise in Romans 8:28 that he will make all things work together for our good. And like my mom, it was Rich's faith that kept a smile on his face and an upbeat attitude. And no one really knew how he could be that way, going through with what he was going through. And although the next year was extremely difficult, there were also moments of beauty where we witnessed God's miracles, and God didn't let us down, and we were just told recently that Rich was cured. So since then, I've read the entire Bible and the study guide. I think Jack even has commentaries in it. And a lot of Christian books, a lot of classes, and my beliefs based not on blind faith, but on a step based on evidence. For me, coming to know Christ was and still is a work in progress. It took work, took it being okay to not understanding it all, trust and surrender to the mystery. I don't have all the answers, but I have enough of them to know that I want to continue to deepen my relationship with Jesus. My life before was not a train wreck, no aha moment. I used to be very fearful, though, and unsure. I didn't forgive easily. I was resentful. I loved to gossip. I kind of missed that one. I was impatient and at times selfish, cynical. I didn't like to be told what to do. I still don't like that one. And I didn't like to be told what to believe, but looking back over the past 3 years, I can see how far I've come. I still have the same character defects, but I'm working on that. And there's a song that I love by Micah Tyler, and the words really, for me, sum it up well. I've been a sinner, I've been a saint, a little bit of both every single day. I've been lost, but somehow I've been found. There's been some pain, been some regret, been some moments I'll never forget, but when I look back from where I'm standing now, there's never been a moment I was not held inside your arms. I see God's plan in all of it now. Now I try to listen to God's voice and do his will, which is why I'm up here now. I'm stepping out of my comfort zone because I believe that God wants to grow me. It's a public expression of my choice to follow Jesus. I know my mom's cheering me from heaven, and probably praying that my 3 brothers are next. They're all here. I'm thankful for the seed that she planted so long ago. And I'm thankful for my church. I love my church. And I'm also grateful to everyone here who's encouraged me and helped me on this journey. Of course, for my husband and my 2 kids. And I'm excited to see what God has in store for all of us.
All right.
Hi, my name is Rich, and Tammy did an unbelievable job. You don't know how hard this was for her. I'd like to really thank my father and his loving wife, Sylvia, for coming today. It really meant so much to me. And all the people that were here to be a witness. I have a lot of my staff, friends, family, my brothers and sisters from Nicaragua, some customers even. you know, I'm going to hear basically, you know, I've been in AA for 14 years, and, I've done service, and I kind of met God there. And in AA, when you qualify, you know, you share experience, strength, and hope. And my experience was in AA was with drinking, you know, your hope is, you know, your experience, your strength is your clarity, and your hope is your life there. So basically, I'm going to share my experience before Christ was, you know, my life was, you know, it wasn't a train wreck. I was very self-willed. I was full of fear, depression, anxiety, self-doubt, and very self-willed. And, you know, I never knew what it was like. And A, you kind of learned to give your will up to God, but, you know, I was hungry for more. And as Tammy said, we were searching for churches and really didn't know what to do. We found Shelter Rock Church, and we went to Nicaragua and never looked back. And, you know, I think God was preparing my heart for something that was going to happen. I started getting healthy. Life is good. You know, Christ is coming to my life. And you know, I felt something, you know, I guess the Holy Spirit. You know, my mom passed away of cancer. And my sister was like, you know, get a colonoscopy. I had one a year before. I'm like, I'm not due for one. And I listened to God. And I went there. And they said, you know, we're not going to cover it. It's going to be $3,500. And I said, well, $3,500. And I never go to the doctor. And he says, Rich, you're healthy as can be. Your heart ran 15 miles the other day. You're doing great. Come back in a year and a half. I walked out of the doctor's office, and it's as if God spoke to me. And what I learned through coming to church and reading the Bible and scriptures is really it opened my heart and my mind, my heart especially, is to listen. And for some strange reason, I walked back in the doctor's office, and I said, Doc, can you get this thing covered anyway? Needless to say, he got it covered. And you'd think that, who wants to get a colonoscopy? You know, you'd run. Like, you know, come back in a year and a half, yay! You know. So, you know, I thought nothing of it. And I went and got the colonoscopy, and the surgeon says, you know, we saw a flat polyp. You know, we couldn't biopsy it. You know, I had to get surgery. So I had surgery, and still thought nothing of it. You know, polyp happens all the time. This grew down instead of going up. It was 8-hour surgery. Came back, and the guy said, the margins are clear. We're going to send to pathology. Pathology calls, and it was cancer. And they said, you know, it's a 90% chance you're cancer-free, because we got it all. There's a 10% chance that it could have gone microscopic, and, you know, I could have cancer. So you hear the word cancer, and you're just like, wow, you know, my world got rocked. And I basically, you know, just kept in faith. And then I went to Cancer Center of America. I went to Sloan, Sinai. And I went to Cancer Center for America. And meanwhile, I'm asking God, like, you know, what's going on? I was really, really confused and not at peace, and I need to make a decision. And I go there, and I'm there for 3 days, and they're saying maybe we could, you know, I was going to have major surgery. They're going to have an ostomy bag. They're going to, you know, some crazy stuff. And the last one I was going to, Tammy was coming down that day, was a surgeon comes in and says, you know, I heard you're going to go to Sloan. And I'm like, he's going to give me the hard sell. So he comes in, he says, you know, I heard you're going to Sloan. I said, yeah. And then we spoke, and he spent 45 minutes with me afterwards, which was like, why is this guy doing this? And he said, Rich, he says, you know, you have a really good attitude. He says, you know, keep up the faith. And I said, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is Philippians 4:13. And he says, Rich, can I pray for you? And I was like, wow, the surgeon, I don't even know him, this world-class, brilliant guy, you know, one of the top surgeons. And he laid hands on me and gave me this warrior prayer that I felt, which is now the Holy Spirit, from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. This guy's crying. I'm crying. And we embrace, and he's praying for me like I've never been prayed for before. And I made a decision. First, I had peace. And there's that scripture that says, which is it, the peace? And the peace which transcends all the understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. And I made a decision, and I got the surgery. And after I got the surgery, you know, it was a day after, and what this has taught me to do is to be bold in my faith. And me, here I am, day after my surgery, I have tubes coming out, I have an ostomy bag, I have IVs, and there's this, like, family room. We go in there, and I see this man there, really, really distraught. And I'm in a bound, I'm a mess. And something inside me said, pray for this man. And this church has taught me to pray for people in the power of prayer. So I laid hands on this guy. I said, this guy looked up at me, and he's crying. And I said, you know, sir, can I pray for you? I mean, weird, right?
Weird.
You know? Like,
definitely weird.
You know? My wife's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I felt the Holy Spirit calling me to pray for this guy. So he looked up, he says, and I prayed for him, and I didn't pray. God prayed through me. I don't even remember what I said, but I was crying, he was crying. And he looked, and I said, you know, sir, you know, can I ask you what's going on? And he looked up at me and he says, have you ever lost a child? And I tell you, I was just, you know, like, and after that, his wife said to Tammy and I, you don't know how important that prayer was to my husband. He was alone in despair. And to make a long story short, you know, Tammy kind of summed it up with what she said. But, you know, my faith has grown so much, and I'm so hungry to learn more. And the brothers and sisters in Christ that I have here, and the family that I have, and the staff, I mean, we're to the point where we even pray at work now. You know, people are welcome to pray at work. And if you would have said 5 years ago, Rich, would you ever be in this place right now? A place of forgiveness. You know, I forgave my past. I'm not angry anymore. And, you know, I'm not fear. It says, you know, I'm not fearful anymore. I mean, I used to live in fear every day. And, you know, I used to question faith. I used to try to figure it out. Like, I got to figure this out. I got to pick and choose in the Bible. And I started reading Scripture. And to me, Scripture is like poetry. It touches my soul, and I learn it, and I memorize it. And I read the Bible every day. I either read the Bible, I'll listen to something, and I pray. And I never really understood the power of prayer. But for me, the most important thing is for my family, for my son, for my daughter, and for my wife to see me grow in faith. And I'm so blessed. God has blessed me so much. And he's there for me. I'm going too long. but the blessings he's given me is beyond my wildest dreams. And I would just like to thank everybody at Shelter Rock, my friends, my family, my mother-in-law who taught me what faith was about. I used to watch my mother-in-law. I'd be like, how could she be so faithful? I want what she has. And A, sometimes, you know, you're sober and you're drunk and someone's sober and it is an expression, I want what they have. And I wanted what you have, and we have the gift now, so right. Thank you, Jack.
That's right. So Rich said the question is, do you want what they have? That's really the question of the morning. Do you want what they have? Because God makes it available to all of us. You can have it. Doesn't matter what your past has been. Doesn't matter where you're at right now. You may say, "Wow, God could never do that to me." Well, God loves a challenge like that because He's ready to step in and make a difference with all that. So we've got to dismiss these guys. They got to go get ready and go upstairs for a minute, and then they'll be back. Okay? So go right up this way. Pastor Jerry's going with them. Jerry, just give me the high sign. Just come up and wave, and everybody will go, you're done, Jack. Okay. That's some story, isn't it? Two stories, right? And you stop and realize that this God that we're talking about isn't just theory. It's not just philosophy class 101. This is real life. These people who you know, who you see when they talk about their experiences, you know those experiences. You know what's going on. See, God has created each one of us with a place in our heart for Him. God wants us to know Him in all of our life. That's what we were created, to be connected to Him. And the Bible tells us that, you know, we have our own mind that God gave us, and we decided to go away from Him. We decided to walk away and to do our own thing. And so we've learned to ignore God. We've learned to disobey God. We learn to kind of, you know, put ourselves up. We make ourselves our own false gods. And what God really wants us to do is just to humble ourselves and say, look, I'm lost. This whole world isn't making any sense. But then we find out God's word says that even while we were still sinners, while we were still far away, even while we were the, you know, most disrespectful towards God, God still loved us. And He sent His Son into the world. He wants us, you know, He sent Him into the world to be with us. Talked about how Jesus humbled Himself, left heaven to come live here. He didn't come to live in some wealthy family. He wasn't the son of a king. Well, who was he? He came, was born in a very humble position, lived in poverty. I mean, had in all these situations, you would say, you know, We sometimes say, well, God doesn't understand how bad we have it. God understands. He's been there. And then His Son lives this life that's the only perfect life that's ever. And what do? They gang up against Him. They arrest Him. They beat Him. They nail him to the cross. And they're doing it all, you know, thinking that they're getting rid of him. And God's allowing all this to happen because he wants us to know that he loves us. He wants us to know that his death pays for all of our sins. I'm not going to ask you how much your credit card bill is, right? But can you imagine somebody coming along and taking all your credit card bills and sweeping them all in and saying, I can cover all this? This will all be taken care of by tomorrow morning. And so all these bills will be paid. You'd be like, you're kidding, you know? But that's what God has done. He's taken all the experiences of our life, gathered them all in, and basically said, all those mistakes you've made, my son Jesus came to make sure that none of that counts against you. And that you will know that you have, you know, a fresh start with your Heavenly Father. And so that's what he's done. That's what he's done for Rich and Tammy. That's what he'll do for you. And then God wants you he wants to fill you with his Spirit. Everything that you saw Rich and Tammy talk about and even just see that and share this whole thing, you know, it's because God's Spirit is living in it. God will give you a new life. Are you ready for that? Do you want it? That's really what he's offering with that. So we're so pleased about that. How are we doing up there? Pretty good? Right. Huh? They'll be here in just a minute. One of the things that happens when Pastor Jerry's going to put them into the water, I think I explained this. What we do is that we put people into the water all the way down to be buried in Christ, and then they come out of the water, you know, resurrected to new life. That's what Jesus has done for us. Jerry, you ready? Okay. I'm done.
Okay, most of us have been to a baptism before. Most of the time it is infants, children. Here at Shelter Rock Church, we practice baptism by immersion. It can be children, it can be adults, but it's basically people who said, I want that. I want to be publicly identified as a follower of Jesus. Baptism is a sacrament the church has practiced ever since Jesus, a Jewish man, was baptized. And you know what is a sacrament? A sacrament is an outward sign of an inward grace. It's an outward sign of an inward grace. Rich and Tammy told you their story about how God has changed their life, and the Holy Spirit has come into their life through their realizing that Jesus is the Messiah. And they shared their story, but now it's time for them to follow in Jesus' footsteps of being baptized. So I think Tammy's going to go first. So Tammy wanted it nice and warm, so it's very nice. Richard Cutler, have you received Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior and your Lord?
Yes.
Well, based on your profession of faith, I baptize in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ, raised to the life.
Our worship team is coming, and for the next 5 minutes, we're going to give you an opportunity to really let this be your day, all right? Well, we're going to sing a song, and I'm going to ask that during this time, if you say, I really want the salvation, I really want Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord, you can make that decision today. You can just pray to him, confess your sins, and say, listen, God, I want you to come into my life. Forgive me. Be my Savior. Save me from where the destruction that I'm taking my life into. And be my Lord. Direct my life. We have prayer teams. They're going to come right now. I'm going to ask some of the people from our prayer teams to come up here to the front. For these next 4 or 5 minutes as we sing, I'm going to invite you to come forward. If you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, this is your opportunity. I'd like everybody just to stand right where you are.